So we are up to Parakhat, chapter 20 of Sefer Shmuel, Aleph. And we're right at the beginning of the Parak. So, at last Parak, Shaul decided once again to try to kill David. And there was this whole episode where David runs away, he hides in, he goes back home to his house, to Michal's house, and then Shaul sends guards to try to extract him, and David escapes through the window, and he ends up running away to Shmuel, and Shaul somehow hears about this, he hears that David is by Shmuel, he sends messengers again to go and extract him, and when they get near Shmuel, they immediately feel the Ruach HaKodesh, and they start to be misnabe, they start to prophesize, and then he sends more messengers, the same thing happens, more messengers, the same thing happens, finally he goes himself, and the same thing happens to him, and that's how the last parak ended. Vayisnabe gamhu lifnei Shmuel, he also began to be misnabe, to prophesize, and this apparently gave David a chance to get away. Okay, so it doesn't say. We mentioned last time that the Abarbanel says that they prophesied that David was going to be king. And that's why they halted their attempts to do anything to him, because now they had experienced the Nevuah that said that he was going to be the king. So they seized all activity. Okay, Parak Chaf Pasuk Aleph Vayivrach David Minavos Barama or Minayos Barama, and David ran away from this place Navos Barama Vayavo, and he came Vayomer Lifnei Yehonasan, and he said to Yehonasan, Me Asisi, what have I done? Me Avoni Numechatasi Lifnei Avicha, what is my different types of sins? What have I done wrong before your father, Kimevakesh Esnafshi, that he seeks my life, my death? Ayomer lo, and Yehonasan said, Chalila lo samus. You know, like Chalila is like, Chas v'shalom, no. Lo samus, you won't die. Hinei lo ya'aseh avi davar gadol, o davar katon. My father won't do anything big or anything small without revealing to my ear his intentions. And he hasn't informed me recently of any plans to kill you. Why would my father hide such a thing? Ein zos, it's not so. He's not trying to kill you. So, it's a little bit difficult to understand. We just had a whole episode where he was very clearly trying to kill him. Is Yehonasan in denial? Why does he think that his father's no longer trying to kill David? So the Mefarshim here say that Yehonasan believed that it was only when the Ruach Ra, that spirit, would come over Shaul that he would attempt to kill him. And he was telling David that, you know, as long as you avoid him during those times, you can be safe. The David explains that the word Chalila here is from the word Chulin. Like, it's mundane, it's lowly for my father. My father swore. He took an oath not to kill you, and he's not going to break that oath, except if this Ruach Ra comes over him, so then he sort of loses control. But otherwise, it's not intentional, he's not really trying to kill you, and he tells me everything. So if he had any intention to do so of his own accord, then he would tell me. And since he only does it when there's a Ruach Ra, so that you should just avoid him during those times. The Malbim learns slightly differently. He says that it's true that Shaul, you know, sent those guards after David to keep him from running away, but it wasn't necessarily to kill him, Jonathan thought. Maybe he just wanted to keep you close, but he didn't intend to, he just didn't want you to run away. But not that he actually planned to kill you. So he says that's not, no, Ein Zos, it wasn't his plan to kill you. Rather, he just meant to guard you, he wanted to keep you close. I saw an interesting idea pointed out by a safer, they bring it down here, Derek, that's what it was called. Kehilas Yaakov. It brings from a safer Kehilas Yaakov that as we mentioned at the very end of the last parak, so Shaul experiences this nevuah, this Ruach HaKodesh, right? And that was a real Ruach HaKodesh. That was a Ruach of Kedusha. So he suggests that at that point, the Ruach Ra, that bad spirit, was no longer going to be with him. And that's why Yonasan thought that now everything is fine. Because once that Ruach Ra was transformed, was replaced back again with the Ruach of Kedusha, Ruach HaKodesh, so then he was telling David that you are safe. So what does David respond? Pasuk Gimel, Vayishava Od David. And David swore, Vayomer, and he said, Yadoa Yada Avicha Kimatsasi Cheng Beinecha. Your father knows, or knew, that I find favor in your eyes. He knows that you like me, Yonasan. Vayomer, and he said to himself, Shaul clearly told himself, Al Yeda Zos Yonasan Peng Yeyotzev. I can't let Yonasan know my intentions, because then he'll be sad. If Yonasan knew that I was trying to kill you, if Yonasan, right, Shaul speaking to himself, if Yonasan knew that I was trying to kill David, he would be sad. So David's explaining to Yonasan why Shaul would do such a thing without informing him, because he knows that we're very close friends. What's the Shavua? Various rabbis that study the Kabbalistic work,
It was probably really hard for him to believe that his father would do something like that. So David probably had to swear to him, look, I know you think your dad's a great guy. But
so, yeah. The David learns that Vayishava is going to be going on the next part of the Pasuk. That the next part, let's continue the Pasuk. He says, V'ulam, however, Chai Hashem, and that's the language of a Shvua. You know, by the life of God, V'chein Afshecha, and by your life, Yonasan, Ki Kefesha Beini Uvein Amavis, that it was just a matter of pesha, of negligence between me and my death. And Mefarshim say he was referring to, Rashi says, I think it's a medrash, Kipsia Achas, pesha is similar to the word psia, which is one step. He was saying, I was so close to death. This is not just, things are not hunky-dory between me and your father. You know, I was this close to death, and he's referring back to the episode, the second episode, or the first twice, you know, that Shaul tried to kill Yonasan with a spear in the house, and it was this close, he says. And so it's not, you know, it's not like you think. It's actually quite real that Shaul wants my death. And this is what David is swearing to. He's swearing about what happened, and he's saying that had I not just moved a tiny bit, right? If you recall, at least the first time, so Hashem helped David. David didn't even know that there was a spear coming at him, and Hashem guided David to avoid the danger. And the second time, David didn't know, and he managed to escape on his own. But both times, really, it was just, you know, that close to death. And says David, whether this is intentional or not, from Yonasan, from Shaul, I'm definitely in danger. And we can't continue like this. Vayomer Yonasan el David, so Pasuk Dalg, and Yonasan said to David, Matomar nafshecha ve'es eloch, what do you say, and I will do it for you, whatever you tell me.
Does that mean he's accepted David's word?
Right. Yeah, so now Yonasan is willing to help.
Okay.
Vayomer David al Yonasan. And David said to Yonasan, Hinei Chodesh Machar. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Ve'anochi Yashov Eshev Im HaMelech Lecho. And I usually sit with the king, excuse me, to eat on Rosh Chodesh. Everybody, Rashi says, everybody who's in the king's court, I guess, you know, sits with the king on Rosh Chodesh for a nice meal. V'shilachtani, but what you should do for me is you should send me away. V'nistarti v'asadeh ad ha'erev ha'shlishis. And I will hide in the field until the third evening from now, I think. So tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, and so I'm going to hide there for 2 days, you know, until the third evening. Now, it's interesting that the way that he says it. He says, I'm expected to sit with the king, right? And look at that. Let's see that one more pasuk. He says, pasuk vav, im pakod yifkedeni avicha, if your father counts me, and, you know, asks sort of, where am I? Where's David? Ve'amartan, you, Yonasan, will say, Nishol nishal mimeni David larutz beis lechem iro. David has asked me to go home. He asked my permission to go back to beis lechem, his city. Ki zevach hayamim sham l'cho ha'mishpacha. Because there's some kind of zevach, some kind of offering or meal, suda, that's going to be taking place there for his whole family. And so he wanted to, you know, there's a family simcha or something going on. We'll see what the Mefarshim say in a moment, but there's something going on there, and therefore he asked me permission to go home. This is what David is telling Yonasan to tell Shaul. Now we see that even though David is on the run from Shaul, apparently he's expecting him to be at this meal, which is interesting, right? Why would Shaul be calling for David if he knows that David knows that he wants his life and he's trying to kill him? Right? Why is he expecting him to be at this Suda? That's a little strange.
He thinks David's going to try to save face. Maybe he thinks that David cares more about his personal reputation, maybe. Mm-hmm. He would like to take a stupid risk.
Could be. So the Radak actually has an interesting idea here, which kind of explains also why Yonasan was somewhat in denial or was saying that it's safe for you here. The Radak says that this whole episode is happening a while after the previous parak. That after Shaul had his moment of nevuah, so he calmed down, things went back to normal, David returned to the house, David's playing, you know, playing for him again on his harp, and things are calm again. But David is still nervous, and that's why, you know, he's not comfortable with what's going on. I don't know if he points out anything specific that happened. I don't think so. But David is nervous anyways. I guess, again, back to the idea that it's only when there's no Ruach Ra, when Shaul's normal, then fine, then it's safe. But at any moment, he can, you know, he can revert back to this bad spirit, to this bad state of mind, and David is nervous about that, and therefore David wants to know what's going on, you know, what to make, to know how Shaul feels about him. And there's also this idea here, Mefarshim discussed, that maybe that they're trying to figure out, maybe Shaul isn't only upset when he has a Ruach Ra. Maybe at this point, things have changed, And now even when there's no Ruach Ra, even when he's in his normal state of mind, it could be that he will still seek Shaul's death, and David's death. And therefore David is concerned about that, and he wants to figure out what the story is with Shaul. So he says, it's Rosh Chodesh tomorrow, I'm supposed to, and that's this, again, I'm expected to come and eat with the king this meal. Everybody comes, and I'm expecting also. So, but I'm not going to be there. I'm going to, and let's see what happens.
I'm not sure, but in principle, the idea is why then.
Let's just see the next Pasuk Zion, and we'll see what exactly David is wants to know. He says, Pasuk Zion, Imko Yomar, Tov Shalom La'avdecha. If he says, good things, that then he's not angry. If he just calls for me, and that's it, and he doesn't say anything bad, so then Tov Shalom La'avdecha. Then things look good. But if he gets very angry that I'm not there, da, then you'll know, Yonasan, that he has bad intentions for me, that he doesn't like me, and he wants me dead. That's what we're going to see. I didn't hear you. We discuss what?
That's right.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
Different.
They came from somewhat different.
Oh, then just mentioning me. I mean, it also means to like count. It's. But you're right. In Mitzrayim, we have Pakod Yifkod. It could be that he did like a count. He did like a roll call. And Pakod Yifkod here would mean like if you counted me, if I was part of the roll call.
He's a son-in-law. He was.
What?
He's the king's son-in-law.
Right. Yeah. No, we're trying to answer what the language of Pakod Yifkod here would be, which means to like remember or to count.
Right.
Now, just to as an aside, what was this seuda that Shaul was having here, and what was the seuda that David's excuse was, right? David said, "Oh, I was called to Beis Lechem, my city, because there's a meal there for the whole mishpacha." What kind of meal was going on? So the Ralbag suggests that it was, again, it didn't necessarily actually happen, but David was, the claim was that there was something going on, that what kind of family event, was it a bar mitzvah, what was it? So the Ralbag suggests maybe it was just like a sudas hodah for a nace, it was a meal of thanks, some kind of nace, some kind of miracle that the family had experienced. So they make, people do this nowadays also, a Suda Sodang, an annual celebration of thanks of Hashem. And that's what he was claiming was going on that he had to travel for. The tour, it was a posik, right? He's discussing halacha. So the tour brings down that he says there's a mitzvah. L'harbos besuda b'Rosh Chodesh. There's a mitzvah to have a meal on Rosh Chodesh. Now, halacha l'maisa, it doesn't carry, it's not an obligation to have a meal, and therefore that's why if we forget Yal of Yavo and benching on Rosh Chodesh, we don't repeat benching, because the meal is not an obligation. That's always the rule. If it's Shabbos, where you have an obligation to have a meal, or if it's Yontif, where you have an obligation to have a meal, and you forget Ritzei, or you forget Yalav Yavo, then you have to repeat benching. But if it's Chol HaMoed, where you don't have an obligation to have a meal, then you don't have to repeat benching if you forget Yalav Yavo. So Rosh Chodesh also, if you forget Yalav Yavo, there's no obligation to repeat benching, because it's not, you don't have to, there's no obligation to have a meal. However, still, the Torah brings down, it's mitzvah laharbos besuda. There's a mitzvah to have a nicer meal on Rosh Chodesh. And as one of the sources for this, he brings our pasuk, ki zevach mishpacha lanu. What does David want to claim to Shaul? Why was David not at the meal? Because there's a family meal going on, right? I'm with my family for a special meal. What's the special meal? Rosh Chodesh, because we know, right? It was Rosh Chodesh that day. That's his whole claim. He's saying, David's not at Shaul's Rosh Chodesh meal because there's a different Rosh Chodesh meal going on at David's house. So that's the source that the Torah brings down for having a Rosh Chodesh meal. Now, the Beis Yosef wonders, or the Beis Yosef, I should say, actually points out, you know, you don't necessarily have a proof from the fact that David had a meal at home, because maybe it was for something else. Maybe they just, like we said, I mean, he doesn't say the Ralbag specific example, but it could have been anything. It happened to be Rosh Chodesh, but it's not a proof that you have to have a meal on Rosh Chodesh, the fact that they happened to have a meal on Rosh Chodesh, right? Maybe they were having a meal on Rosh Chodesh for a different reason, maybe like the Ralbag's reason, because it happened to be that a miracle happened to them on that day, right? Or at least they were claiming that. So he says there's no proof. So the Beis Yosef says, you know, disputes the Torah's proof and says he don't have a proof from that pasuk. Now the Mishpatzot Zav asks, you know, somewhat of an obvious question. It's interesting that the Torah, or if you would read this parak, and I ask you, bring me a proof that you should have a suda on Rosh Chodesh. So where will you bring the proof from? From who?
The verse that said that the king's having a meal.
Very good, right? You bring it from the fact that Shaul, David says, everybody comes to eat. Anochi Yoshev Eishemel Lechol, because it's Rosh Chodesh. I'm going to go and eat with the king because it's Rosh Chodesh. But the Torah doesn't come from that pasuk. He comes from the pasuk of David's excuse that I can't be there because I'm at home having a meal with my family. So what's the pshat in that? What's wrong with the proof from this pasuk?
If I may?
Yeah.
What's wrong with it is that if David's family had a meal for Rosh Chodesh, because it's Rosh Chodesh, he would have been absent all the time.
Oh, so you're disputing, you're asking another question on his proof.
There's nothing special about this Rosh Chodesh.
How come he wasn't with his family ever in Rosh Chodesh?
Right.
That's another reason why the Torah's proof is not a good proof, right?
No, that's the reason why the Torah's proof is no proof at all.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
But you haven't answered our question is why doesn't he bring his proof from the pasuk about Shaul? Why does he bring his proof?
Kings have suuda all the time. They're kings, but David's family were commoners, so that was more special.
Okay.
I do not know.
I do not know, right? That's the question. That's the Mishpatzot Zav's question on the tour. Right? Clearly this was calculated, you know, that's a very obvious thing. So he says that, he suggests the following. He says that we know from Psukim and from Chazal that there's a mitzvah on Rosh Chodesh called Kabbalas Pnei Rabbo, to go and see your Rebbe. There's a mitzvah on Rosh Chodesh to go and see your Rebbe. Where do we see that? We see it from the story with Elisha and the Isha HaShunamis, where basically she miraculously has a son. The son dies. She finds him basically dead in the attic, and she doesn't tell her husband. Rather, she says, I'm going to see the Navi. I'm going to see Elisha. And Elisha says to her, why are you going to see the Navi? Lo Chodesh, v'lo Shabbos. It's not Rosh Chodesh, it's not Shabbos. Why are you going to see him? Implying that it was normal to go on Rosh Chodesh and to go on Shabbos. But why are you going today? It's so random. So the Gemara learns from there that there's a mitzvah. It's interesting. The Gemara learns from there it's a mitzvah to go and see a Rebbe on the regalim, the Gemara says. On the regalim. Even though it doesn't say Rosh Chodesh, it doesn't say regalim in the pasuk. It says Rosh Chodesh and it says Shabbos. Says the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that Chayav Adam Muhak B'Pnei Rabba B'Regel. For the regalim, as it says, this pasuk. So Rabbi Yochananel there seems to have an additional girsa in the Gemara that we don't have. Rabbi Yochananel, in his commentary, he continues sort of, and he, you know, quoting the Gemara, and he says that the Gemara Uparkinan, the Gemara asks, or the Gemara says, it goes on to explain, I guess, that. Sorry, right? No, the Gemara he asks is Vakshinan, which is usually quoting the Gemara. He says the Gemara asks on that. It says Vaberego Amarnu. We said that you're chayav to go on the regal, and you're quoting me a pasuk that mentions Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos. So actually, we're learning Rosh Hashanah on the same page, and I was wondering this question. I didn't see Rabbi Yochananel, so now I'm glad to have this answer. So he says, Rabbi Yochananel says that, and he seems to be quoting the Gemara that we don't have. If the Rebbe lives close by, so then you have to go every Rosh Chodesh and every Shabbos if he lives close by. But if he's far away, so obviously you're not expected to go so often to see the Rebbe. So therefore, the Gemara says you only have to go for the regalim. That's how the Gemara understood the pasuk. If you live, the Gemara was talking about if you live close, you should go Chol Chodesh v'chol. The whole Shabbos, every Rosh Chodesh, every Shabbos. And the Gemara infers that if you live further away, that we can't expect you to do that, you should at least go for the regalim. Now, he brings down here that the Ritva also has a similar idea, and the Ritva says as follows. If your Rebbe lives within the same Tichum as you, meaning within 2,000 Amos, so then you should go every Shabbos. You can walk there. You know, he's close by. You should go every Shabbos. If, and you know, in a way we do this when we go to shul. You know, we hear the Rav's drasha every week. So I guess that's a kiyum of this pasuk and this mitzvah. If he's outside the tchum, so then, but he's within a day's travel. You could go and come back on the same day. So you should go every Rosh Chodesh, says the Ritva. And if he's even further than that, that you couldn't get back on the same day, so then you've hit the third Madrega, the third level, then you go only on the Regalim. That's what the Ritva says. There's other approaches, he says, but that's one idea here. So he says, he takes a little leap here. I'm not sure where he's coming from. He takes a leap here that just as there's a din, there's halacha to go see your Rav, so too there's halacha to go see the Melech. He says, therefore there's no proof from this Suda that they had on Rosh Chodesh with the king, because perhaps they were just fulfilling this other din of Kabbalas Pnei HaMelech on Rosh Chodesh. Just as there's a din, there's a halacha of Kabbalas Pnei Rabbo to go see your Rebbe on Rosh Chodesh, so too there's a mitzvah to go see the king every Rosh Chodesh. So I don't know, right? It doesn't seem right. So maybe, yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe if you knew him, I'm not sure how he makes this leap. He doesn't really explain it. But that's his suggestion. He wants to say, right? He points to Rashi, and Rashi kind of limits it. He says, "Derech kol ochlei shulchan hamelech lavo biyom moed al hashulchan." It was the way of all the people who sat at the king's table to come on the moed, to come on Rosh Chodesh, and that's why. So maybe specifically the people who are, you know, part of the king's core, his entourage, his table, so they would have this mitzvah of coming every Rosh Chodesh. Fine. Right. I think if everybody was going, so it was convenient, then you could see your Rebbe in Jerusalem. Right. Every Rav would set up a tent. You have to find him. They have a lot of good signage pointing everyone in the right direction. That took organization, right? Okay. Pasuk Ches. So now David is still telling Yonasan what they're going to do, what the plan is. V'asisa chesed al avdecha. And you should do a chesed with your servant. Ki bivris Hashem hevesas avdecha imach. Because you brought your servant, David's referring to himself as Yonasan's servant, you brought your servant into a bris, into a covenant. We made a covenant, the two of us. Im yesh bi avon, and if you think that I have some kind of sin, hamiseni ata, you should kill me, Yonasan. Ve'adavicha lama zeh tevieni, and why will you bring me to your father to die? If you think there's something wrong, just kill me now. Because if it's the same thing as bringing me to your father. Vayomer Yonasan chalilalach. And Yonasan said, again, chas v'shalom, to suspect me of such a thing, kim yadoa eda ki chol sahara meim av yilavo alecha. For if I would know that there's evil intent with my father upon you, and I wouldn't tell it to you, no way. Chas v'shalom, if I know of anything, I will tell you, I will keep you informed.
Rav goes on, he seems to switch to...
Vayomer David al Yonasan, and David said to Yonasan, Mi yagidli, u'o mayancha avicha kasha. Who will tell me, or what will your father answer hard? Just literally translating. It's a hard pasuk to read what's going on here. So the Malbim says, the Malbim explains, that he says, if your father has bad intentions, so who's going to tell me? Because you can't send a messenger to tell me, because that's going to give us away. Right? If everything's fine, so then you can send a messenger, because everything's fine. But if things are not fine, miyagidli, who's going to be the one to tell me? Because you can't send a messenger. You send a messenger, we're going to be found out. The messengers might spill the beans and tell Shaul what's going on. You can't send a messenger to tell me to escape. So who's going to be the one to tell me? Oh, my yancha v'icha kasha. And now, he's asking him a different question. He's asking him, says the Malbim, what in your mind is considered kasha? My yancha v'icha kasha. What is a hard answer from your father in your mind? Because we may have different opinions as to what is considered, you know, that your father has, you know, different, we may have a different threshold or measure, you know, you way to measure what's considered that your father has bad intentions towards me. You might think that unless he curses me and, you know, declares that he's going to kill me, then everything's fine. He didn't say he's going to kill you. He didn't curse you out, so everything's fine. But really, David says, even a little bit of anger is maybe considered bad. So let me know exactly what his reaction is so that I can be part of the decision as to whether I consider him, you know, after me, angry. Vayomer Yonasan el David, And Yonasan said to David, "L'chav inetze asada, let's go out to the field, because we now are getting into things that are a little bit more private, a little bit more, even what they were talking about up till now was already kind of private, but now apparently it's even more. They're making the plans, so they say, let's go out to the field where it's quiet. Vayetzu shneihem asada. And the two of them went out to the field. Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayomer Yonasan el David. And Yonasan said to David, Hashem Elokei Yisrael. And he swears again. He says, by the name of Hashem, Ki echgar es avi. When I investigate, when I, prod even your father, I'm gonna. Hakira really is to like investigate, to delve into. But he may be saying, I'm going to. I have to lead him a little bit to try. He may not say anything, and that won't help us. I have to lead him a little bit. So Kais Machar Ashlishis. Tomorrow. Or by the next day, which will be the third day from now. So if not tomorrow, then the next day. Vinei tov el David. If things are good for David, v'lo az eshlach elecha v'galisias aznecha. So then I will send to you, I'll send a messenger, and I'll let you know. Because if things are good, if things are fine, so then I can do it with the messenger. I don't have to come myself. I can send a messenger. He was telling him that the first day I'm not going to... On the first day I'm going to leave it up to Shaul to see if he'll say anything on the first day. If he doesn't say anything on the first day, so then that's where he says, "Ki echgar es avi ka'es machar ashlishis." Then I'll ask him something on the third day from now. Then I'll start to prod him a little bit, to lead him, to try to elicit some kind of reaction, either positive or negative. Maybe I'll remind him that you're not there. Or it doesn't say how he's going to do it, but he's going to try to get some kind of response out of Shaul to David's absence. And again, if his answer is good, if he sounds like he's happy with you, so then I'll send for you with the messenger. But pasuk yagimel, but ko yaseh Hashem liyonasan v'cho Yosef. Now he swears again. He says, this is a lashing of Shavua, that
furthermore, he says, what does it mean theoretical justification? He starts quoting Aristotle and Galen. And
he says, Ki yetiv el avi yesara lecha. If doing evil to you is good in my father's eyes, v'galisias aznecha. So I will let you know. I will be the one, v'shilachticha, and I will send you, v'halachta l'shalom, and you'll go in peace, v'hi Hashem imach, and Hashem will be with you, kasher haya im avi. An interesting line. He says, Hashem will be with you, just as he was with my father. So first of all, so again, he's saying here that if things are no good, saying I'm not going to send a messenger, I'm going to be the one on my own. Galisi ba'atzmi. I'll be the one on my own to inform you that things aren't good, and then he says, I'll send you in peace. V'yi Hashem imach, and Hashem will be with you. Kasher haya imavi, just as he was with my father. It's like a bracha. But what does he mean, just like he was with my father? So seemingly what he means is in terms of you becoming king. Radak says, Bidvar hamalucha yia imcha. For in the matter of kingship, Hashem will be with you. Yonasan knows that David is going to be the next king, And he's saying, that's what he's saying. He's saying Hashem should be with you, that you should be victorious in battles, etc., as the king of Israel. V'lo imodeni chai, v'lo sase imodi chesed Hashem, v'lo amos. And he says, Radak learns here, he's now talking about when David becomes king. He says, I'm not worried that I'm going to still be alive and that, or that you won't do chesed with me, because I know that you will. V'lo amos, I won't be dead. I know that you will, you David, when you become king, you are going to continue to treat me well. And he's saying essentially that we have a covenant, you and I, and I know that you're gonna stick to it. I don't need to ask you. I don't need to say anything. That you're going to keep me alive, you're going to do chesed with me. V'lo sachris es chastecha me'im beis yad olam. You won't cut off your chesed from my house, David. Even when you're king, you're going to continue to treat me well. V'lo behachris Hashem es oyvei David ish me'al pnei ha'adama. Even when Hashem helps you get rid of all your enemies, which may include Shaul and, you know, and parts of his household. But I know that me, Yonasan, are, you know, we have our own deal. We have our own covenant, me and you. And I know that things will be good. Mitzvah David learns, he was telling him, I'm not going to ask you not to destroy your enemies. That I won't, even though they're my family. I'm not going to ask that from you. Even if it's Shaul, you know, even though it's my father, David, I know that to become king, that there's going to have to be some loss to me and my family, and I'm not going to ask you, you know, to not do that. But, you know, but I guess me, my immediate family, most immediate, those who are on your side, those who are not your enemies, should, you know, we shouldn't have any issue. And then, Vayichros Yehonasan in Beis David, and Yonasan was Karas Bris. He established this covenant with the house of David. Ubike Shashem Yad Oyve David, and now Yonasan speaking, which as David says, Yonasan says that Hashem should seek out the enemies of David, and including me, if I become your enemy. That Hashem should seek out any enemy of David. By Yosef Yonasan Lashpia as David, Vavasoso, and Yonasan continued to swear to David in his great love for him, Ki avas nafsho ahevo, because he loved him very, very much. And this sets up the stage for the next section, which is going to be more familiar to us, is the Haftorah of Machar Chodesh. Whenever Rosh Chodesh is on Sunday, we read the next Haftorah, and it's the continuation of the story, but we'll hold off on it till next week.